You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hainaut Baba. Since Donald Trump won the presidency, we've been hearing more and more about a disenchanted white working class that was fed up with a system that they say wasn't working for them. A class that felt unheard and voted, some out of racism, but many out of frustration. Joan Williams is a professor of law at UC Hastings in San Francisco and director of the Center for Work-Life Law there. She says, as a country, we are, quote, clueless about class, and especially, she says, her fellow liberal elites. Her new book is called White Working Class: Overcoming Class Cluelessness in America. She joined me in studio to explain what she means by all that.
I have for a long time been talking about the class culture gap, which I know because I've bridged it my entire married life. My husband's father was a factory worker in Waterbury, Connecticut, and I came from strictly silver spoon type environment.
You've been living this for a while, but why now? Why now make the book? Is it because of Trump?
Democrats like to think about class conflict between the top 1% and the bottom 99%. But that's not the class conflict that's been driving American politics for 40 years. The class conflict that has been driving American politics is between about the top 17%, what I call the professional managerial elite, and then really people in the middle 53% of Americans. Mm-hmm. That's the class conflict that's been driving American politics increasingly since about 1970. And the class conflict has often played out in terms of cultural issues because class differences are expressed through cultural differences, which is one thing I saw throughout my marriage. For example, in my circle, we're very proud of appreciating a broad range of cuisines and cooking things we've never cooked before, whereas in Jim's family, there was a very steady repertoire that did not change of traditional dishes. Entertainment is different. So entertainment was getting together on Labor Day to have a standard Labor Day picnic, whereas in my life, entertainment has been often through dinner parties where you invite people you, quote, want to get to know better, which means you're building your professional network. Mm. Because social networks are also very, very different by social class. The professional and managerial elite, the PME, typically has what are called entrepreneurial networks, national or global networks of weak ties with a lot of acquaintances.
These are who?
These are everybody from lawyers to bank managers. The median income of the PME is about $173,000 a year. The median income in that middle category, which is being called the working class, although it's really the middle class, is closer to around $73,000 a year.
Okay.
So that's who they are.
So how did we get it wrong? Why did we get it wrong?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of open insults. If you look at, there's one study of stereotypes of sitcoms in for the last 40 years, and we've had a very consistent stereotype from Archie Bunker to Homer Simpson of the white working class guy, kind of overweight, dim-witted, in the case of Archie Bunker, racist, sexist, in the case of Homer, lovable but dim-witted. So we made a lot of progress in the United States on the issues that I've spent most of my life on, which are class and race. But often you hear about people talking about, you know, people with plumber's butt in flyover states who are just dumb rednecks, really open insults. And, you know, when you openly insult people, they tend to get insulted. Mm. And they tend to vote with their middle finger, which a lot of these people did. You often hear, why did these people vote against their own economic self-interest? And my answer is, you know what? They didn't. They didn't.
How?
They think that it's their belief that neither Democrats nor Republicans have stopped or even paid much attention to the hollowing out of the middle class. And I think they're right. I think we haven't. Now, it's also true that these people lost these good blue-collar jobs. It's also true that African Americans lost them a generation before. The next step to losing those jobs is despair deaths. And when that happened to African Americans, it was like all about, oh, let's criminalize these people. Now it's happening to white people. It's kind of, we're singing a different tune. So I am not one of those people who said we should stop looking at race or gender because class is all there is. Class is not all there is. But class is important. And we have been overlooking it for far too long.
And we've seen the result.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
So now, well, not now. If we can go back a little bit in history to two decades, three decades, four decades back, if somebody goes back and looks, what would they see that would explain a little bit of what's happening right now? And it would make sense.
The classic explanation is that when President Johnson advocated the civil rights legislation, he lost the South, and that it was all about race. And there's definitely race in the picture. We're the United States. Race is rarely not in the picture. But again, that's not the only thing that was there, because what happened around 1970 as well is that the center of gravity of the Democratic Party shifted from kind of blue-collar guys to the college-educated people. This happened around the time of the McCarthy era in the Vietnam War. And so you had a really sharp shift in the center of gravity of the Democratic Party to the college-educated elite and the kinds of issues they cared deeply about. And then the other issues, the traditional issues at the heart of the Democratic Party, labor issues, workers' rights issues, they're sort of like, well, everybody has to be environmentalist, but a few people care about workers' rights issues. And that is part of the reason why even progressives have paid far too little attention to the hollowing out of the middle class. And I like to give an example here in San Francisco of Uber. If you look at what Gavin Newsom did when he was mayor, he was so excited about Uber. Oh, disruptive, fantastic, 21st century. And these taxi drivers, many of them Southeast Asian immigrants, who had paid up to like $200,000 for these taxi medallions, the city basically didn't really respect the deal. First of all, it flooded the market with more medallions, and then it basically allowed Uber to do what Uber wanted to do. And that's such a dramatic example of how certain issues are required if you're part of the elite. Mm-hmm. You care about racism. You care about environmentalism. But other issues, they're sort of optional. Those are the issues that have led to the hollowing out of the middle class in the evisceration of white, rural, and Rust Belt communities with despair deaths in much the same way that we saw in the inner cities. Now, you know, should we care about them like only now that white people are having these problems? No. Again, I'm not trying to deny the existence of racism, but the fact is we have a moment of opportunity now to help everybody regain access to a solid middle-class standard of living as a central concern of progressives and the Democratic Party. And I sometimes find myself a bit mystified as to why this is controversial. So let me give you an example of how this plays out politically. I recently wrote a piece for The Guardian about guns and abortion. Abortion is central to me. It's one of the earliest political commitments I had. It was commitment to access to abortion. But it's central because I knew I wanted a career. I knew I did not want to be a homemaker. And you need to be able to control your fertility. if you know you want to engage in full self-development, professional self-development. So that's why abortion rights have always been very central to me. But I've also been aware, since I'm really interested in a field called intersectionality, like the intersection, for example, most traditionally of gender and race, but also of gender and class, that high school educated women are much less likely to support abortion rights than college educated women are. And there's also a strong racial dynamic where white women are more likely to support abortion rights than Latina women. And that stems from the logic of the high school educated women's lives. Their work is going to be probably a low-wage job with a crappy schedule where they get sexually harassed, perhaps. It's not the center of their identity. It's not the center of their aspiration. Their center of their aspiration, and this is true of all non-elites, is you want a job that can support a stable family life, but the center of your identity is with family life. Family comes first. This is true whites, and it's true of people of color who are non-elites. Mm-hmm. In that kind of context, access to abortion rights doesn't often seem so life and death. It doesn't seem so important. It may seem evidence that the elite just doesn't understand that family comes first and that they're obsessed with work. And I would go like, why would they say we were obsessed with work? Maybe because we're obsessed with work.
Right. And so people are in two different worlds. So how do we bridge that gap? Do we want to bridge that gap? Because that's also diversity.
I think we want to bridge that gap. Part of diversity is treating difference with respect. Again, why is this so hard? It should not be hard. I mean, the reason that it is hard is that in order to bridge the class culture gap, we not only have to kind of climb the empathy wall, because, you know, these people, they don't want empathy. Mm. They want something that's a lot harder. They want respect. Now, in my view, that's what poor folks have always wanted, too. Different issue. Empathy's been on offer. They'll take that. What they want is respect. That's what human beings want. But in order to give these folks the respect that, in my view, they deserve, we have to realize that our truths are contingent. Their truths are parochial, so are our truths. That's the nature of truths. Now, genocide, that's not parochial. But how important work and family is and what that relative value is, that's going to vary by class. The meaning of guns varies by class, location, geography, race. When I think of guns, I think of beautiful young men killing each other in Oakland. It's horrible. Get those guns away. But when, you know, your white working class rural guy thinks of guns, he thinks of a pleasant experience of male bonding, going out and enjoying nature with his son and shooting to get maybe, I mean, there's some evidence that there's a lot of these rural guys on disability, and guns are one of the ways they support their family. So the meaning of guns in our lives is just so different. Mm-hmm. Climate change is another example. If you don't believe in climate change, you're an ignorant climate denier. There is no better way to frame that issue to create a class backlash against environmentalism. That's such a good example of class cluelessness. And so at some level, it's hard for me to understand why this is controversial. But at another level, it's easy for me to understand why this is controversial, because I'm asking not the white working class, I'm asking my crowd to say, you know what? Your truths are very local. They're not absolute. You need to respect other people's truths.
That is a hard
realization. You need to build a coalition. And a coalition means you're not going to get your way all the time. And that's a hard message for an elite to hear.
Have they been hearing that?
I do think there's a more robust conversation about social class in the United States now than there has been at any time during my nearly 40 years of professional life. I think there's also a lot of pushback, and I think a lot of the pushback stems from two things. Some people saying, oh, well, we need to abandon identity politics and now realize we need true overarching issues like social class. And we've been talking about gender and race for 40 years out of 60 millennia, and now we're over it. No, that is just irritating. To me, I just think that these old-fashioned labels of left and center, I think they're not helping us talk fruitfully with each other. Respect for non-elites and the fact that people who work hard should get a fair proportion of the productivity, which they used to in 1970, and they don't now. To me, these are issues of the left. Now, does that mean gender or race is not an issue of the left? No, it doesn't mean that. That's just like a non sequitur. So I think those are the two sources of pushback by progressives, that we have to get over identity, abandon identity politics, number one, and number two, that we have to move to the center and become more moderate. I don't think we have to move to the left, because only 25% of Americans identify as liberal, and I'm actually, at this point, pretty attached to winning. But I also don't think we have to move to the center, because I think some of the policy positions that are associated with the center, free trade, for example, very close relationships, how can I say this delicately, with Wall Street, those are some of the moves to the center that got us in this pickle. Those are some of the moves that the reason that the white working class is so angry at us. So I just think these old-fashioned categories, I just think we should lose them. They're broke.